Right now, it's one of the toughest word problems educators have to solve. What's the best way to teach mathematics to kids? For years, educators and administrators argued over methods, but this fall, the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics unveiled new, more focused guidelines for elementary and middle school students. The document, called Curriculum Focal Points, urges teachers to focus on three concepts in each grade and on a select few subjects instead of inundating students with too many concepts. We're going to talk with the president of the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics in a moment, but first, let's get some context from Sean Cavanaugh. He's a math and science reporter for Education Week. Welcome to the program, Mr. Cavanaugh.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we want to hear from listeners as well. Is your child struggling to learn too many concepts? How would you like to see the way we teach math changed? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, and the email address is talk@npr.org. So, Mr. Cavanaugh, what does the typical math curriculum look like now?
Well, ironically, that depends on where you go, what school district you're in, what state you're in. One of the longstanding problems or issues in how math is taught is that what gets taught varies from school to school, district to district, and state to state. Part of what the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics has been trying to do, or said they were trying to do this past fall, was to streamline that curriculum and bring more focus to what gets taught at the pre-K through grade 8 levels, where basically there have been so many different approaches with not a whole lot of uniformity.
Now, is the feeling, first of all, let's talk about exactly what the problem is with the way math is taught now, the need for teaching fewer. Why is it important to teach fewer? Or why are they saying now that it's important to teach fewer concepts rather than too many concepts?
I think part of the idea is that we've had this longstanding debate in math about what needs to get taught at what grade level, and that creates a lot of problems in the classroom for teachers, because a lot of teachers at the elementary and middle school level want more direction. They want to know, well, what should I be teaching to first, second, third graders at various times during the school year? How can I avoid duplication of topics? When is it necessary to review? When is it necessary to forge ahead? There hasn't been a whole lot of consistency so far, so I think that one of the main points the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics is making through this document that you've been talking about is, let's get at a few core key concepts in math and narrow it down and give teachers more direction, more structure, more focused set of principles.
But also, let's talk about how kids are being affected by the way it's being taught right now, because I think a lot of parents probably have noticed this, which is it seems like sometimes they move very quickly from one subject to the other, and if you don't have a math whiz at home, they may not really have grasped one skill while they're being asked to move on to the next one.
That's true, and it's not. And when you think about it, it's not a very efficient way of teaching the subject. Because what that means is, if you've got a first grader who goes on to the next grade, and they've sort of raced through a series of topics, they may end up having to spend a good portion of their second grade year going back and reviewing. That's long been identified as a major problem in math. I think that one of the challenges that the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics has talked about, and really math experts all around the country, is how to teach it well the first time and make sure students learn it the first time, so that you don't end up with this sort of cyclical process of having to go back and review things that you should have gotten down pat the first time.
And as I understand it also, there's a lot of concern about how American kids do in comparison to students in other countries, that our students are falling behind, such countries as Japan and Singapore, many other countries around the world, that we don't do as well.
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you look at the results of the TIMSS and PISA tests, the two basically big international tests, American students are generally falling in the middle of the pack in math, and they're not doing well on a whole series of skills, from, depending on how you look at it, from things like what should be basic skills in math to their ability to do more problem solving and think about solving math problems in different contexts. So the countries that are consistently doing well, seem to have a more streamlined approach to teaching math. In some cases, those countries have a national curriculum in which, but not always, but in some cases, those countries have a uniform set of principles that all students learn at essentially at the same time. But in the United States, we don't do that. We're a nation of state and local control. So what you learn when can largely depend on what district you're in.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Sean.
Oh, you're welcome.
Sean Kavanaugh reports on Math and Science for Education Week, and he joined us by phone from his office in Maryland. Joining me now is Francis Fennell. He is the president of the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics, and he's with me by phone from College Park in Maryland. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Hello, Lynn. Thanks. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm actually, by the way, have traveled, motored from College Park. I'm now in the District of Columbia.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for that correction. That precise mathematician in you.
How about that? Yeah.
But can you graph it for me exactly?
Sure. Actually,
you could.
The city of Washington is a wonderful coordinate laid out by that famous mathematician Benjamin Banneker. What a great opportunity to talk math in this great town.
Okay. Tell me about this focal points curriculum and how it sort of changes the teaching of math. What is the focal points about?
Well, of course, our goal is that a couple things happen. One is, and I was on the phone and I was listening to Sean Kavanaugh's words, and he certainly got it right in terms of the intent and some of the issues we face. There are 49 of our 50 states out there that have curriculum documents, curriculum frameworks of one type or another, and they range from the number of objectives that a teacher would have to deal with from somewhere in the high 20s to probably over 100, depending upon how you count. So here I am, the fourth grade teacher, and I've like most fourth grade teachers, I have kind of a generalist background, and I've studied some mathematics, but it sure wasn't my major. I'm responsible for pretty much all the subjects. I'm now stereotyping now, but this is pretty much the case in this country. And I'm faced with 100 objectives. By implication, they're equally weighted, equally important, and frankly, we know that has never been the case. And so what we're trying to do is, if you will, provide some focus, i.e. focal points, provide some coherence across these 49 documents so that when children walk into a fourth grade classroom, while there may be still scores of objectives, we can certainly have some essentials taught deeply and well at particular grade levels.
Well, then define for me what you mean by focal points. You're saying then a fourth grader needs to know what?
For example, at the fourth grade level, we call for children being able to recall their basic multiplication facts and have developed some fluency with multiplication and how it works. What is multiplication, how we do multiplication, and those kinds of things. In addition to that, we have another focal point that deals with two-dimensional shape and so forth, and I don't have the document sitting right in front of me, but we have three of these per grade level, plus connections back to them to support them. So we're trying to give the teacher and those who are in charge, if you will, of state curriculum and local school district curriculum around this country.
So the idea is go a little deeper with fewer concepts.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Depth is really our goal here. You know, it's that classic phrase that I just heard a few minutes ago, our curriculum being a mile wide and an inch deep, is partly because we have so many topics and we scratch the surface. You know, for instance, multiplication is really important. We want kids to understand that. Certainly we want them to get the right answer. Certainly we want them to be able to tell us what 7 times 6 is. That's always been important. But we also want them to understand what they're doing.
All right, let's see if we can get a call in here. Juliet is calling from California. Hi, Juliet.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
I have an 8th grade daughter who's in Algebra 1, which I took in 9th grade 30-some years ago. Mm-hmm. And I found that the way that she's being taught is so rapid fire through the process that she's never getting any concept down. But not for the fact that I spend an hour or so every day with her doing her homework with her, she wouldn't be able to finish a single problem.
Yeah.
As a result, she gets all her homework correct. When she takes a test, she gets almost everything wrong because she can't generate it on her own. She doesn't have the depth to really understand what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers are not being permitted, I think, to really go into the subjects that are most important in that depth so that they can fully understand. I think that they're instead being taught in California to teach for the STAR test, which is, you know, the state assessment test by which the schools get paid, and they're being forced to go through an enormous amount of curriculum, as you said, in such a degree of shallowness that nobody's really getting it.
So, Juliet, you'd like to see some changes for your child. Would be good.
I think there needs to be change on every level. I think math is the one that I'm most intimate with because it's something that I felt like I had trouble with in school, and now I'm having to learn again with my daughter.
Right.
But I think that on every level they're being bombarded with busy work in terms of homework and classwork and not really getting the concepts of how to think and how to learn.
All right. Frances Fennell, before you respond
sure.
to that, I just want to remind our audience that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
I'd like to respond to that. I'd like to respond in a couple different ways. First of all, let me congratulate Juliet for being a great parent. Admittedly, she says it wasn't necessarily her best subject, but she's gotten over that, and she realizes the importance of this subject, and she's finding the time to work with her daughter. We need more and more parents who are concerned enough about this subject to realize how important it is. That's part A. Part B isn't as positive from my perspective. I think we push a lot of kids, typically at the middle grade levels, into Algebra 1, and we have more and more students doing that right now, somewhere around 32% in this country, than at any other time. And one of the things we have to be very careful about is that they have the essential prerequisites. They understand the mathematics we talked about a few minutes ago deeply enough, well enough, so that there's a level of success that can be met with that first formal course, if you will, in higher level mathematics. And so clearly, the first step is in the direction of the teacher. It sounds like that step has been taken. It seems to me there needs to be steps beyond that one.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call, Juliet.
Thank you.
I hope that was helpful. Let's see if we can get another call in here from Dawn. And Dawn is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Dawn.
Hi.
Go ahead.
It is my under contention, and through having gifted children and having them go through an excellent program in the honors program in Paradise Valley Schools, that math is a language. Mm-hmm. And one of the problems is that they aren't taught the verbs of the language until they get to a formal setting. So they have the 1, 2, 3s that they're taught by their parents and grandparents, like ABCs, but if you get to the plus, which means addition and subtraction and all these, and suddenly they don't know what to do with it because it's a foreign language, and they thought that they understood the 1, 2, 3s and the counting. And I would really like to see a totally different understanding of math as language, and we start teaching these things to them much younger so they know when they get to school that this is going, you know, more is going to happen with this, and it is a language. It's a universal language, and it's what creates the whole civilization as we know it.
All right. Well, thanks for that comment. Frances Fennell, what's your thoughts on that?
I love it. I think it's great. She's absolutely right. The subject is in fact a language by itself. I would also like to say that one of the things we were very careful about in writing our focal points, and of course these are not just single statements, these are deep structures about the mathematics that's important for children at these levels, is the kinds of elements of language that Dawn discussed. In other words, properties like the commutative property, the distributive property, how equations work and why they work as early as the primary grades, and the symbols that go along with the subject, as is the unique vocabulary, a couple of which I just mentioned. I couldn't agree more that it has to be integrated and integral to the mathematics teachers teach and children learn.
I just one thing I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
The woman who called earlier, I think it was Juliet, was saying that she sits down and helps her children.
Right.
You know, I have to be honest. I'm one of those people that has a lot of math fear, and
uh-oh.
You know, I'm not helpful. I'm truly not helpful helping my child because I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
So,
for
parents who really, find that it is difficult for them to understand math, how do they deal with that in terms of helping their children?
Well, first of all, it's a great question, and let me say that I'm a father and a grandfather, and I can remember vividly talking with my advanced placed son at one point in his high school career, saying, "You know what? You're on your own here." And by that I meant that it had been a while since I'd done calculus. Certainly, I could sit down with him and do it, but I didn't have the time at that particular time, and it was also I felt it was his responsibility. But for any parent, I think the goal is to value the subject, recognize the importance, as Julia mentioned earlier, of this subject, and support your child. Maybe that's just providing encouragement. Maybe it's making sure through the teacher that the right homework is coming home, that the right level of assistance and so forth. And it's not so much that, geez, mom can't do this, or mom said she had trouble in math or whatever. That's frankly history. But the point is we now have a next generation.
Right.
And we sure do need more mathematicians, more scientists, more engineers.
All right, Francis, thanks so much for joining us today. We're out of time.
Oh, boy, we could do this forever, couldn't
we? Francis Fennell is the president of National Council of Teachers of Mathematics. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.